You can't watch this game and say who you think would win in 7 games. No way.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today, we are recapping a huge 11-game slate in the NBA on Sunday, a weird one for a Sunday, and then previewing the 3 games for Monday. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it. Indeed. Let's start with the early games. Games were spread right across the day here on Sunday. The first game of the day, the Brooklyn Nets and the Chicago Bulls. We know that the Brooklyn Nets mutually agreed to part ways with Kenny Atkinson, an absolutely nonsense decision from that organization. Now, I think there was pressure coming from ownership. I think that if Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant wanted Kenny Atkinson to stay, he still would be the coach. I'm not saying they asked for him to be fired, but absolute bullshit. And then you heard, or I heard, I don't know if you heard, on the Zach Lowe podcast with Kevin Arnovitz across the weekend, they speculated they heard that one of the reasons that Atkinson was let go of is because he was not starting DeAndre Jordan. Yeah, Jack Vaughn comes in, first game, DeAndre Jordan starts. I have never seen more of a puppet head coach move in my entire life. Vaughn struggled as a head coach in Orlando, comes in and just does what the two guys who aren't even playing wanted to do to start DeAndre Jordan, who is a worse player than Jarrett Allen. Absolute nonsense from this franchise. Let's see what happens over the course of the offseason and next season, but that is absolute bullshit move, showing once again that players, not they have too much power, they can have as much power as they want, and they've got the power, all good to them. But they are bad, bad judges of talent and fit in the NBA. It continues to be proven day after day, year after year. We see this again, and that nonsense has won out, and I think it's going to be to the detriment of the Brooklyn Nets franchise. But they come out and they get the win over the Chicago Bulls. Not that that's a big deal. The Bulls, Otto Porter, 25 minutes, still coming off the bench for some God knows reason. I don't know why. 23 points, 3 triples, 4 steals. Big game from Porter. Huge game in his first game back. 2 turd burgers in the middle and another big one here. The 25 minutes is the most encouraging thing. Probably should be on a 12-team roster. Markkanen also much better. 16 points with 4 threes and Big Shaq Harrison.
Big Shaq.
6 points. 8 rebounds.
2 plus 2 is 4. Minus 1, that's 3. Quick maths.
3 assists, 4 steals and a block, putting up huge numbers in huge minutes. Now, I don't know what the hell's going to happen with this rotation. Zach LaVine is going to return. Chandler Hutchison's going to return at some point. Ryan Arcidiacono is going to return. So a couple of people are going to be out. Denzel the Hammer Valentine is going to be out. Are they going to play Hutchison over Harrison? Are they going to... Are they going to play Arcidiacono over Harrison? This is great from Shaq while it's happening. Huge, huge numbers and absolutely worth a 12-team stream. But two of those three guys return, LaVine and Arcidiacono and Hutchison, and where does he fit? Is he still playing in the rotation? That is a big question mark. Kobe White, love the 21 points, although it took 21 shots, but 6 rebounds and 8 assists is where it's at for White. Really looking good at the moment and should be on a 12-team league roster, while Thad Young only played 25. Now, he scored 17 points. 33% usage from Thad Young has no way of being able to stick. He's moving into 12-team drop category. While it's pretty rough for Wendell Carter Jr., if you're in a playoff mix, he can't really get anything going. I think you just might have to consider dropping him and getting more production out of that position. I also think Satoransky's moving into drop zone. When LaVine comes back, with White playing this well, with LaVine there, with Porter getting more minutes, we're seeing Satoransky be marginalized, 5-3-1. I understand why they're doing it, even though he is a good player. They've got nothing to play for, no wins, no playoffs, no nothing like that. I think Satoransky in 12-teamers, especially definitely in 10s and probably in 12s, he is moving into a droppable player that you can look to stream his roster spot. For the Nets, Jordan. Now, we can talk all we want about how bad he is as an on-court player, but the numbers are fine. 11 and 15, 3 blocks, 80%. You need a center. He is absolutely an ad now because they're going to run with him. As incorrect as it might be, they're going to run with him. Jarrett Allen, 10-team, 12-team drop. 11 and 6 in 19 minutes for Allen. They are still starting Babyneck Wilson Chandler over Taurean Prince. Babyneck's not good. He hasn't been good for 5 years. Taurean Prince, also not good. The difference with this benching is Prince is still playing his starters' minutes and Chandler's playing his bench minutes. 22 minutes for Chandler, 29 for Prince. Neither of them are 12-team league guys. Prince is just a stream type of option who's really struggling. Smoke and Joe Harris had 23. Caris LeVert had 23. And Spencer Dinwiddie had 24. Good games from those guys. And with Dinwiddie finally playing his normal minutes, Chris Chiozza saw his playing time drop back down to 12 minutes, which is probably more realistic for him rather than the 20-22 he was getting over those weird blowouts and big comebacks that were seeing him play way more than expected. But the Nets mixing things up with that coach firing. Again, stupidity. And then not even waiting one game to throw that, you know, highly rumored reason why he was fired and put DeAndre Jordan starting. I can't stress this enough. DeAndre Jordan is not better than Jared Allen, and it is a dubious move. And you can say, oh, Kyrie and Kevin Durant want it. That's cool. Let's see how much that translates into wins for this team as they move forward. When you start your hiring process, you may have questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know you've made the right hire? Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in minutes and use screener questions to help create your shortlist of applicants fast. Also, add skills tests to your job posts so you can be confident in your applicants' abilities. Their library of more than 50 skills tests ranges from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at Indeed.com/lockedon and get your free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/lockedon. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Offer valid through March 31st, 2020. Let's move on now to the next game of the day. Who is it? I completely forgot where I'm up to. Here we go. It is the Lakers and the Clippers, the big game of the day. The Lakers get the win 112-103.
LeBron James.
28-7-9 with two blocks. He was great, as was Davis, 30-8 with two steals and a block. And Avery Bradley out of nowhere. 24 points in 33 minutes. Bradley's minutes have pushed up lately. And he's just cracked inside the top 150 over the last week. Six triples, two steals. Now, I don't believe any of this for a second. I'm not looking to add Avery Bradley outside of those deeper league type scenarios. But it's a really good level of production there. The future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, had 8 and 10 with two blocks, while Markieff Morris played 16 minutes. Rondo was dreadful, but still got 22 minutes. The seven assists are nice, but he's not a fantasy option, while Dwight Howard and Alex Caruso were also really bad. Just 6 minutes apiece for both of those guys. Howard struggled, and Markieff Morris is taking minutes away from him and away from JaVale McGee, who played only the 12 minutes. For the Clippers, Paul George had 31-6 with three steals, while the fun guy had 27 points, but only two rebounds and zero assists. A little bit of an empty night there for Kawhi. Big game from the table, Montrezl Harrell as well. 34 minutes, 20-8 with two blocks. Again, his numbers have not been that good this season. He's the 90th ranked player, but over the last week, 120th. The poor free throws are a concern, and that does bump up his value if you take that out of the concerns there. But yeah, pretty good numbers overall. Still, he plays way too many minutes. Zubats 5-7 in his 14 minutes, and Lou Williams 7-5. I think Williams is a 10-team drop and probably a 12-team drop at this point. 14 minutes only for Reggie Jackson. Well, Landry Shamet pushed out of the rotation almost. 8 minutes only for Shamet. Jackson and Shamet, of course, aren't 12-teamers. Patty Beverley in 26 minutes isn't either, while it was a rough night for Marcus Morris. 1 point on 0 of 9 shooting with 6 rebounds. Should not be anywhere near a 12-team league, in my opinion, at this point in the season. More of a 14-team league guy. And some real concerns about how he's going to fit with Kawhi and Paul George as we move forward. Let us move on to the next game. It is the Pelicans and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Drew Holiday, an absolute beast. 37-9-8 with three threes, a steal, and a block. And Lonzo continued his strong run. 18-5-8 for ball, four threes, 54% shooting, two steals. Over the last week, your number four ranked fantasy player is Lonzo Ball. Over the last 20 games, your number 17 ranked fantasy player is Lonzo Ball. And you guys would remember back in his rookie season, I said if he can be a top 20 fantasy player. And a lot of people called me stupid. I remember someone even this season, Josh, just admit you got a problem with Lonzo Ball and just say it's an addiction to saying he's good. Now he's good. And he is a really good fantasy player. And we're seeing that play out now. Absolute huge numbers. Ingram, 15-12-7, solid enough, while Zion had 23-7. The poor free throw is still a concern with Williamson. Not a great night from Derek Favors, only the 22 minutes. He's still a back-end 12-team league guy, but probably more of a stream specialist with the fantasy playoffs coming up, while Josh the Hitman Hart is wildly inconsistent. He had a Marcus Morris, 1 point on 0 of 8 shooting, not much else there. Really hard to rely upon him. For the Wolves, Jimmy Johnson, did he make us proud? Yes, he did. James Johnson, 15-5-4, 3 threes, 1 block, 25 minutes. He should be on a 12-team league roster, at least in the short term. Wasn't a good Naz Reid night, just 29% shooting, 10-5 with 3 steals and a block, while D'Angelo Russell had 19-6-5. Culver and Okogie both, Culver struggled. Okogie was pretty good, 12-5-4 with 3 steals, but he's more of a steals specialist than anything else. While Malik Beasley, the really hot shooting, couldn't keep up, but he still had 21 points, still had high usage, and got us 9 rebounds. But that hot shooting he's been we've been seeing from him is not something that I think we can 100% rely upon. While Juancho Hernangómez, 3 points in 28 minutes. He is not someone that I think we should be holding on to in 12-team formats as a must-roster player. The Thunder get the big win over the Celtics on the road, 105-104. Chris Paul was great, 28-6-7, while Schroeder had 27-2-6. This was a game they played without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as well. Terrence Ferguson, he started in Shai's position. He had 4 points in 20 minutes, so continues to be absolutely worthless. While Dort had 8-4 with 2 steals and a block in his 31 minutes. A weird night from Abdul Nadir, 4 blocks in those 17 minutes, really hard to rely upon that. While Steven Adams in a bit of a downturn at the moment, Steve outside the top 170 over the last week, 6-6 with 3 steals in 26 minutes. Still a guy I think we have to hold on to though. Now, not much else to really talk about there. It was a defensive stats-less game from Nerlens Noel, and that's always disappointing because that's really the only reason you have him. For the Celtics, no Jaylen Brown, so Marcus Smart, excellent again. 19-10 with 4 assists and 2 threes. Over the last 20 games, he's the 52nd ranked player. That's higher than his teammate Gordon Hayward. That's higher than Kemba Walker. That's higher than Daniel Tice. Yeah, really strong numbers from Smart, who absolutely cannot be on a waiver wire. Hayward had 24-5-4 with 2 blocks, while Jason Tatum, the last couple of games, the shooting has regressed. 36%. Now, he still contributed, 19-5-3 with 2 steals and a block, but that red-hot, ridiculous shooting was always likely to fall off, and Kemba can't do anything at the moment. 14-6-5 on 29%. Hey, to be fair, 6 rebounds and 5 assists is good. 2 steals is good. The shooting for him has been a real worry. It looked like Tice might be going to a 23-24 minute a night role. Not so fast. 28 minutes again. Big numbers there, while Enes Kanter pretty much taken out of the rotation. Only 6 minutes for Kanter, while the Rock DJ Robbie Williams played 14. So Tice remains that 12-team league player. Williams is a nice blocks stream sort of an option at this point in the season. Let us move on now to the next game of the day. We had the Milwaukee Bucks going down to the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix, 131-140. Everyone will tell you that the Bucks were without Giannis Antetokounmpo because that is a fact, but the Suns were also without DeAndre Ayton and Kelly Oubre. So not that it necessarily evens up, but it is, you know, still a really, really big win from Phoenix. For Milwaukee, Middleton had 39 points on 50% shooting, while Eric Bledsoe, 28-3-7 on 63%. Both of those guys have routinely showed that they will step up when Giannis is out. While the big ragu, White Dante, the Delaware Jordan, Dante DiVincenzo, had 16-7-4, 2 steals, 2 triples, 29 minutes. While Antetokounmpo is out, and even before that, Dante's been putting up huge numbers. He is a 12-team league ad for me. Lopez had 18-2-2 with 2 blocks. That's pretty solid. While Ilyasova started in Yanni's place, he did nothing. Didn't even take a shot, Ilyasova. Just had 7 boards. While Marvin Williams saw his minutes pump up to 26, but he is a long way from being fantasy relevant. Wes Matthews was also extremely rough. 5 points in 18 minutes. Those minutes should nearly always be going towards DiVincenzo over Matthews. For the Suns, the ravishing one. 38 minutes, 25-13-13, 3 steals, 3 triples for Rick Rubio, who has been ludicrous. He's a top 50 guy over the last 20 games. He's 47th over the course of the season as well, 22nd over the last week. Had that stretch before the break where his ankle was bothering him, and he's been red hot pretty much the rest of the year. While Devin Booker had 36-5-8 with 2 blocks and 4 threes. And how about my boy McCall Bridges? Now, he did play 43 minutes, but 21-10 with 2 threes and a block. The Suns only have 2 games this week. But with how Bridges is playing, I don't know how you can leave him on the waiver wire. Aaron Baines is also an interesting one. 33 minutes, 24 and 7 with 4 triples. As long as DeAndre Ayton is out, Baines has value. When Ayton comes back, he's a drop. While Šarić had 11 and 5 in 26. Johnson comes back, Cam Johnson comes back, and Ayton come back, it's going to really impact Šarić. He's a 12-team streamer at best, obviously behind guys like Baines and Bridges in terms of value. Diallo had 6 points in 14 minutes, while Ali Okobo, weirdly, was out of the rotation in this one. The next game we take a look at, the Indiana Pacers on the road, get the big win over the Mavericks. They did it without Malcolm Brogdon, who's out with that hip injury. Dougie McDirt was also out. Sabonis and Turner, big games from both of them. 20-17 and 6 from Sabonis, 16-13 with 2 steals and 3 blocks for Turner. Turner has played very well of late. Looking to see how he can fit next to Sabonis, it's working a lot better of late. Tony Warren returned, 16-8 in 33, while Oladipo didn't shoot well. 16-4 and 7 is still pretty nice. I'm still holding on to him in 12-team leagues, but I understand in a shallower format, a 10-teamer, you might want to drop to get better production. Aaron Holiday is starting in place of Brogdon. He is not a 12-team league must-add player. 7 points, 2 assists. He'll have a good game coming up this week. There'll be a big game from Aaron Holiday, but overall, it's just not worth having him. He just cannot produce at this point. We've seen multiple games of him starting in place of Brogdon or in place of Oladipo and it not really turning into anything good. Leave him for deeper formats at this point. Well, Timothy John McConnell had 12 points and 5 assists. He can be an assist streamer. The Mavericks were without Seth Curry and Dorian Finney-Smith in this one. Timmy Hardaway was great. 30 points in 39 minutes with 6 threes and 2 steals, while Doncic had 36, 10, and 8. Hardaway really on fire at the moment. A top 50 guy over the last week. Probably should be on a 12-team league roster. While Courtney Lee had played 31 minutes with those absences. He had 2 steals, but he's not a fantasy option at all. It was a terrible night from Kristaps Porzingis.
Porzingis. I tell a man's not hot.
He'd been excellent before that. Like, really, really good. Over the last 20 games, he's been a top 15 player, but 9 points on 18% shooting is rough. He did have 2 blocks. I think there'll be a bit of a bounce back here. While Maxi Kleber's a good blocks streamer while Curry's out, he played 34 minutes, 2 and 5 there. It wasn't his best night at all, but he still can be an option while they continue to start him while Seth Curry is sidelined. The next game we take a look at, the Miami Heat and the Washington Wizards. The Heat get the win in the end, 100-89. They did it without Jay Crowder, Tyler Hero, and Myers Leonard. And then Jimmy Butler went out with a sprained toe. Now, he says it's fine. No MRI needed. He had a sprained ankle, and then apparently that morphed into a sprained toe. I think more like he meant to say it's a compensatory, but that's always a worry. It was a shit game from Butler anyway. 9 points on 4 shots with 0 rebounds and 0 assists. Just really ugly. Duncan Robinson's the opposite of that. He has now scored 22 threes in his last 3 games. He had another 7 here, 23 and 7 with 2 blocks and a steal. An absolute red-hot run from Robinson, who over these last couple of games, he's more than a 3-point specialist. Now, over the course of the year, he's still only the 112th ranked player, but he has really turned it on of late and should be not on any waiver-wise, while Bam Adebayo was excellent.
Bam! 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 Bam!
27, 14, and 6 for Adebayo on 69% shooting.
Giggity!
Big game for him. Kendrick Nunn, the minutes have been plunging way down, but with Butler injured, we saw them jump back up. 29 minutes here, 18 and 5 with 4 threes. The shooting percentage is still rough, no assists. He's a real borderline guy to me, but if Butler's going to miss time, I think he is someone to at least take a 12-team flyer on. Same with Dragic, 11 and 4, not his best night, but he gets a boost if Jimmy does have to miss time, which isn't sure at this point. Derek Jones Jr. could also be a defensive stats streamer. 31 minutes for Jonesy. He had 3 steals and a block with 4 points and 8 rebounds, and he often gets a boost in minutes when Butler does go down. For the Wizards, there was no Ish Smith, so Shabazz Napier went bananas. 40 minutes, 27, 4, and 7 with 4 steals. Last game, he only played 24 or 25 minutes, but he did suffer a knock to the face and then didn't return. I don't think he'll play 40 minutes a night, nor do I think he'll score 27 points a night. But while Smith is out, Napier, even if it's just for his assists, is a 12-team league guy. Beal had 23, 3, and 6, while Bertans had 25 points with 8 triples. Good games for all of those guys. And Garrison Matthews hadn't played for ages. 17 minutes, 5 steals. Absolutely fluky. Tom Bryant played like 24 minutes at center the other night and thought, okay, here we go. Is something happening? Maybe not. 16 minutes, 2 points, 3 rebounds. This sort of up and down production, it's really hard to hold. I know the upside's there, but will he actually realize it often enough to be a hold? It is a tough decision to make. I'm leaning towards him being a drop. Well, Hachimura is not a must roster 12-team league guy. 40 minutes, 0 points. 6 rebounds, 3 assists. He had a steal. 0 of 8 shooting. A really rough night from Hachimura, who is so far this season the 158th ranked player. Obviously, that is not standard league relevant. Let's move on to the next team. The blowout win for the Magic on the road against the Rockets. The Rockets look whack at the moment. They are so out of it. 126-106, the Magic get the win. They did it without Evan Fournier as well. Gordon continues his strong run, 19-10-4 with 3 steals and 2 blocks, while DJ Augustin, 24 with 4 triples and 3 assists. It helped that Markel Fultz was battling some calf issues, but DJ is at least a name to watch for some points, threes, and assists stream value. Terry Ross had 16 with 4 threes and 3 steals. He's playing really well, while Vucevic had 16 and 16, and Fultz had 18, 1 and 5. So still pretty good from Fultzy, despite the sore calf. Awundu and Ennis did absolutely nothing. Carter Williams stepped up, 16 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists with a triple one in 27 minutes. He's a nice deeper league, maybe 14 to 16 team league stream option, while Fournier is sidelined. For the Rockets, Harden had 23, 7 and 6 in Westbrook, 24, 8 and 4, but overall just a disastrous performance. They did change their rotation a little bit. Jeff Green and PJ Tucker played next to each other. Now, some of that's because Eric Gordon and Ben McLemore both weren't available, but 18 and 5 for Green, who's putting up some good numbers, is turning into at least someone to consider as a 14-team league streamer. Only 26 minutes for Bob Covington. He had the 4 blocks. Overall, it was pretty rough. Well, Dan House had 6 points in 30 minutes. He is not a 12-team league guy, nor is PJ Tucker, who had 7 points in 29 minutes. You are much better off streaming those roster spots than holding onto those guys for dear life. The next game we take a look at is the Detroit Pistons and the New York Knicks. The Knicks get the win 96-84. The crucifix Christian Wood had 22-8. And before the game, it was mentioned that Bruce Brown was starting over Brandon Knight and that Knight would be coming off the bench with limited minutes. Allegedly, that minutes limit meant 1 because he didn't play a single second. Cool. Thanks, Dwayne. Now, I've been talking about how stupid it was that Dwayne Casey just refused to say that, you know, oh, Bruce Brown's not a point guard. Well, he is a point guard. He started a point guard. He had 16, 4, and 6, and he had big minutes. Now, he should continue to play in that role the rest of the season. None of this Brandon Knight bullshit. I think Brown is a 12-team league ad. Mikhailuk had 9 points with 5 rebounds and 5 assists. Not an exciting option. While Jordy McRae, just another shit shooting night. So many bad shooting nights on Sunday. 1 of 10 for McRae with 8 points in 20 minutes. He is not a must-roster 12-team league player. He's a streamer for points, and you're going to get these rough nights. The Muppet John Henson hurt his ankle, sprained his ankle, 15 minutes, 3 points, but Thon McCurr. Minutes are up, and I only mention that because people are going to ask. 28 minutes, 3 points. 3 steals and a block. He is not a 12-team league ad, even with Henson out, while Siku Dumbaya had 4 points in 16 minutes, just refused to get playing time. 27 minutes for Mitchell Robinson's about 5 minutes too low. 14 and 11 with 3 blocks. He only had 1 foul. Miller, just play this bloke more. Lord Alfred Payton, 16, 5 and 6. Someone mentioned, is Payton a must-add? Yes, yes, he's a must-add everywhere. While Julius Randle had 22 spin moves, also had 22 points, 12 rebounds, and 3 steals. A shit night from RJ Barrett, 12 and 3 on horrendous shooting. A true shooting of 34%, just a bad night there. While the rest of the rotation so jumbled. 19 minutes for Portis, 17 for Ntilikina, 23 for Allington, 19 for Knox, 12 minutes for Bullock, 17 minutes for Harkless. Just nothing to really gain out of looking too deeply into those minutes. They're just going to be streamers, more for deeper formats as well. All right, on to the next game. It was the Cleveland Cavaliers getting the victory over the Spurs in overtime, 132-129, after one game of starting Derek White and DeJounte Murray. Together, White moved back to the bench and played only 25 minutes. Thanks, Pop. He was still pretty good in terms of scoring 17 points, but 0 rebounds and 3 assists. Ended up with just 25 minutes in the overtime and 8 of 9 from the line. That is pretty tough to hold on to in that scenario. You can still do it if you want, but it is rough if he's going to come off the bench. Keldon Johnson continues to impress. Another 2 steals here in his 17 minutes. DeRozan had 25 and 8, while DeJounte Murray, great. 17, 7 and 6 with 6 steals and a block. Drew Eubanks is the one that they started over Derek White. 6-6 with a steal and 2 blocks. He's only a very deep league guy, while Trey Lyles continues to provide back-end 12-team value while Aldridge is out. 13-9 for Lylesy. And Bryn Forbes had one of his better games. 19 points, not much else, but 19 points with 4 threes on 50% shooting is pretty good. For the Cavs, Andre Drummond played 33 minutes in the end, but mainly that was because of the overtime, and that's with Tristan Thompson leaving this game early. Now, he was great, 28-17 with 3 blocks, but I worry about what happens when Thompson plays. Chetty Osman was also pretty good, 19-4-6 with 2 steals, and with Porter and Garland both sidelined, he's at least got 14-team league value. Nance, 43 minutes, 19 and 10, must be on a 12-team league roster. And Kevin Love, on a back-to-back, played 40 minutes. Now, he was rough, 14 points on 25% shooting, but 18 boards and 3 assists is nice. And the Padawan, Colin Sexton, struggled a little bit here, but had 26 points in the end, a perfect, well, not perfect, a very, very good 9 of 11 from the line. Just struggled a little bit with his shot and could not get the rebounds. Just the one board here, but 4 assists. He continues to be really, really impressive. 35th ranked player Sexton has been after all I shitted on him, and he deserved to be shitted on in those early season performances. But again, when credit's there, you got to give it because he's been so much better in terms of producing fantasy-wise. I still think he's got a lot to work on from a real-life NBA perspective, but the numbers have been coming in really, really thick and really, really fast.
Giggity!
So on to the last game of the night, the Sacramento Kings end up going down to the Toronto Raptors, 118-113. For the Raptors, there was still no Fred VanVleet, but Mark Gasol did return.
Oh, hi, Mark.
He only played 16 minutes, 3-2-2. They do have a back-to-back, so we don't know if he's going to play on Monday. And then they don't play again until Saturday. Playoffs are probably starting in your league on a minutes limit, limited games, 5 days off in between games. It's really hard to consider him a must-hold player. Ibaka had 15, 10, and 5 in his 36 minutes. Hopefully he can get a few more good games in before those minutes start to drop, while Storm and Norman Powell absolutely dominating. 31 points, 6 triples, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Now, he is going to lose some when VanVleet comes back. I don't think he'll lose as much as, say, the Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
But he's going to lose some value. He's going to remain a 12-team league guy. Lowry had 35 and 8 with 6 triples, and Siakam had 23, 8 and 5 with 3 steals. Big numbers from all 3 of those guys. I think one of my better controversial calls at the start of the year was that Lowry was going to have a better fantasy season than Pascal Siakam, and so far it has worked out that way. As for Anunoby, 12 points with 2 triples in 39 minutes. Again, with this weird schedule coming up, the impending return of VanVleet on the weekend as well. It does seem to me he is more of a steal specialist than a must-hold, must-roster player. I know I'm generally in the minority on that with Anunoby. For the Kings, Rashawn Holmes is back. Only 19 minutes because it was a back-to-back and he still had that minutes restriction. He had 6-3 with 2 blocks. He is a 12-team league hold. While Harry Giles struggled again, 2-3-2 in 14 minutes. His 12-team value is obviously over. Alex Len was great, 15-7 in 15 minutes. And I could see him taking the backup role over Giles when Holmes goes back to starting. That is a real possibility. The pencil, Harrison Barnes. Barnesy. 9 points on 10 shots. He had a triple one. He had 5 rebounds and 3 assists. He's still just that 14-team league guy. While Buddy Hield, only 24 minutes for Hield, 11-5, 3 threes and a steal. Now, the Kings were down 3 at the end, and Walton, your mate, did not decide to put Hield in the game. Now, Walton is a bad coach. Hield can be a little bit overrated, but I also think that the way the Kings are using him is nonsense at the moment. Now, his best role is as sixth man. He has an inflated opinion of his own ability, which is absolutely fine, and players should have that inflated ability. But the Kings are really down on him at the moment, it appears. Not using him is absolutely 100% inexcusable in a late-game situation when you're down 3. I would be stunned if Hield is on this team next season. I will be absolutely stunned. That doesn't mean he's all of a sudden going to become a completely different player on another team and start doing everything outside of scoring, because he really is a scoring, efficient scoring with threes guy who occasionally has some steals, occasionally has some assists, and that has some top 50 type value for fantasy, but it's pretty rough at the moment. Not a good night from Bogdan Bogdanovic, 9-4-2 in his 30 minutes, while De'Aaron Fox was great, 28-4-4 on 50% shooting, but only played 31 minutes. Let's go and talk some injury news before we get into DFS. Yanni Antetokounmpo has a capsule injury in his knee. He missed today. He'll miss at least one more. You'd think with the Bucks wrapping up pretty much the number one seed, he might have to sit a couple more. The big ragu, Dante DiVincenzo, is the ad there. Marvin Williams in deeper leagues and Ilyasova in even deeper formats. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander did not play today with a hip injury. It doesn't appear too serious, which is good news, but Malcolm Brogdon's hip injury is week to week. He's also been playing really badly, so he is not a hold in 10 or 12-team leagues, unless you can just slide him into injured reserve. That's it. Not a hold otherwise. This is the end of the season, playoff time. You can't hold players who aren't even playing that well who are going to be out long-term. You can say the same for Evan Fournier and his elbow. Tristan Thompson had to leave today's game with an eye injury that enabled more minutes for Larry Nance and Andre Drummond. We still don't know exactly what's going to happen with that four-man front court rotation when everyone's healthy because we just haven't seen it. Thompson, with Drummond back, he's probably another 12-team league guy. Well, Jimmy Butler did hurt his toe. He is saying it's not too serious, so that's good news for him, and it's going to hurt guys like Kendrick Nunn, who do benefit quite a bit when Butler does happen to sit out. Let's move into DFS now. We're going to be looking at DraftKings pricing for the three games on Monday. All right, the first game we look at for Monday, the Charlotte Hornets taking on the Atlanta Hawks in Atlanta. The Hawks are 4.5-point favorites, and the total is 225. For Atlanta, Cam Reddish did have a problem with some cramps in the last game. He is not on the injury report, so he should be ready to go. But DeAndre Bembry, DeAndre Hunter, Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
They are all questionable. Fantapan's Kevin Huerter and John Collins are both probable. So lots of sort of weird up-in-the-air stuff. If Teague is out, Goodwin gets those minutes. If Hunter is out, you get more Trevion Graham. You get more Huerter. You get more Reddish. If depending if Bembry plays, he could take some of those minutes as well. So there's a lot of different permutations of what can happen with Atlanta with all of those different situations. I'm looking at DraftKings pricing here. Devontae Graham, 6,400. He's been a 30-plus guy most of the last three or four games, so I like him at that sort of a salary, especially in this good matchup. While Trae Young at 10-3 hasn't really been anywhere near that number of late, and the Hornets have been relatively good at defending point guard, so I think I might fade off of Trae in most circumstances. Now, it is at only a three-game slate, so if you're looking for that big player or big value money type of guy, and with Giannis injured, Young is probably going to be it, but I'd probably take a guy like Big Chungus in Denver as my big money guy versus Trae Young. Rozier at 6,600, maybe marginally too high on DraftKings, but I don't completely dislike it. Teague's not doing it for me. At shooting guard, Reddish is at 4,500. Again, probably should play, and a real opportunity if Hunter misses for him to get more minutes. He's a really strong tournament guy to me, while Cody Martin at 45 is the opposite. A decent enough floor. He's getting around 30 minutes a night, but his upside is really limited. Fantapants is at 58, and he's been dropping 33s, 34s, 35s a lot of this time. So there's some pretty good value there in Huerter at 5,800, especially for cash, but also with a little bit of tournament upside value. For your small forwards, Miles Bridges has been disappointing, averaging under 25 over the last five. The matchup is okay for Bridges. I think it's a good opportunity for him to bounce back, so I do like using him here. DeAndre Hunter, Jalen McDaniels, Vince Carter, not interested in those guys at all. On to your big men. The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman. It has been pretty rough for Dedman, but again, going up against the Hornets big men has been a boon for fantasy centers this season, and I think that's a good opportunity for Dedman. I understand if you're a little bit burnt on using him in cash, so maybe we just look at him for tournaments. You got Cody Zeller at 49, Bismack Biyombo, that's the word, at 39. Now, centers have had a great time of it against the Hawks. Now, we don't know what rotation the Hornets are going to use. It has been three games of no Biyombo. The pattern has been three games in, three games out. So does this mean Hernan Gomez is out? Does this mean that Zeller is back out? There's lots that can change. So there could be some opportunity there for both of those guys, especially Biyombo at sub 4,000. If we hear that, in fact, he does come in and start, there would be some value appear there. Collins is at 9,000. That maybe is a little bit too high, but given the opponent, I think that's an opportunity for him to be a 40-plus player, which is not bad at that price tag. Paul Washington Jr. is at 56. I really like the cash value in that and some tournament numbers. Bruno Fernando, probably not going to be the guy that we're all invested in. Next game is the Bucks and the Nuggets. No spread at this point. Yanni is out, Giannis Antetokounmpo, so we'll likely get Ersan Ilyasova starting again with Marvin Williams getting a bump, as will the big ragu, Dante DiVincenzo, who was great yet again. At point guard, Bledsoe's at 5,700. I love that. I could not love that more. He really ramped it up. 44 points on Sunday. Love that price for him. Hill's at 37, he's not an option, but the big ragu is 4,800 for Dante DiVincenzo. Love that as well. He's averaging 35 points over the last three. Great opportunity for him to be another 30-point performer. The Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray at 7,000. Well, those other guys, Bledsoe and DiVincenzo, I take over him pretty comfortably. It's not a bad price for Murray. I just think there are better guys out there. Monty Morris, probably not. Shooting guards, Fartin Will Barton's at 6,000. His numbers have been up a little bit of late. I don't mind it for a cash play at that sort of salary. Wesley Matthews, no thanks. Paddy Connaughton also no, but Gary Harris.
Nice, Gary!
Getting steals in bunches, he's hitting shots. I don't really think I love him, but at 29-point average over the last three, that's at least intriguing. It's not the best bet on the board, though. There is some downside risk. Chris Middleton at 76 had 47 points on Sunday. He's going to have to carry a larger offensive load, no doubt, with Giannis out, so that looks like a pretty good spot to me. And Michael Porter, really hard to rely upon him, although he did have 38 points the first time these two teams met this season. At center, Big Chungus, 9,500 for Nikola Jokic. I love that one. That's my big price guy that I'm looking at. 46 for Paul Millsap. No, thank you. Brook Lopez at 51. I think that's got some pretty good cash value there as well. While Mason Plumlee at 36 probably doesn't get the job done. Jeremy Grant, Marvin Williams, Ersan Ilyasova are not really all that keen on any of those guys. You could take a flyer on a Marvin Williams with Yanni out, but he really disappointed on Sunday, and Ilyasova went scoreless during that time as well. So nothing super interesting for us to look at in terms of those replacements, those position for position replacements for Antetokounmpo. The next game is the Toronto Raptors and the Utah Jazz. We're anticipating Fred VanVleet will not play in this game. I don't know about Marc Gasol. He has returned on Sunday. This is a back-to-back, so he may or may not play in this one, but we're expecting VanVleet to be sidelined again. At point guard, Clarkson's at 4,200. Yeah, only for tournaments for him at this point, while Conley at 53 looks good for cash and tournaments. I really like Conley here. The Donovan Mitchell at 7,500.
He's Don. He's good.
He's been a really rock-solid 30-ish point guy. The matchup is maybe a bit of a negative here for Mitchell, but it is a back-to-back for the Raptors coming into Utah, so that takes a little bit of the shine away from what they can do. I don't mind Mitchell, probably more for tournaments here, though, while Lowry at 84, those same reasons that I just talked about, that back-to-back in Utah, it does take away from using Lowry here. At shooting guard, Ingles is at 51. He's not getting it done at that price, while Storm and Norman Powell is all the way up to 6,800. And with VanVleet sidelined again, he's got a chance at another 40-pointer. But that salary has jumped up quite a bit, and it does take away some of that upside value for Powell. Still not a bad play, but not a must-roster guy. Bojan Bogdanović, 6,100. Back on track at the moment, but really, to me, it's just a tournament guy, because if the shots don't go in, really nothing else happens for him, unfortunately. Royce O'Neal does nothing, while the Jedi, OG Anunoby...
Hello there.
6,200 is way too much for Anunoby, in my opinion. At center, Ibaka at 5,900. That looks okay to me, with Gasol still working his way back, and Rudy Gobert at 7,900.
Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert.
I do like that for Gobert. I think there's good cash value with some tournament upside. Siakam's at 8,700. I think that's probably a little bit too high on a back-to-back, while Gasol and Tony Bradley are not guys we're going to want to mess with in this situation. If we flip it over to look at FanDuel, I think Ingles has some upside at 42. Not that much, but a little bit there. Cody Zeller, maybe. Ibaka, Huerter, Biyombo, Powell, Reddish, Bridges, Devontae Graham, Chris Middleton, Johnny Collins, Bojan Bogdanović, Dedmon, Rozier, Washington, Barton, Lopez, Bledsoe, all having some value for that Monday slate of games. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, guys. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Give me a thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. And now you can go tell your smart device to go play the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan on the Locked On Podcast Network. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Jordan McRae.